going to hand over to Andrew now to bring the word of God to us. He might be deliberating, which is the right one today, but praise God. We shall hear from heaven. Amen. Father, we pray for your anointing on this word. That, Father, there will be a release of your power and your spirit. That, Lord, there should be a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of you. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know the hope to which God has called us. Now rich is God's glorious inheritance in the saints. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. God is good. Thought you'd lost your voice for the new year. Hallelujah. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. I want to just begin a subject, and this subject will lead into all sorts of things. This subject may challenge you. It will challenge your thinking, may challenge some of your understanding. But we need to be challenged with the Word of God. And we need the Word of God to bring us closer and to have a greater understanding of who our Heavenly Father is and what He has prepared and given to us for today, for tomorrow, and further on in the future. Yeah? So, that's right, we are safe in God's hands. But God has a plan.
He does.
And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And I believe that the church sometimes leaves it hidden.
Yes.
It's time to expose what God wants to do.
Yes.
Problem today, in so many churches, evangelical churches, they've preached the message that Jesus is coming back to bail us out. He's going to rapture us. He's going to take us out from all this wickedness and leave the earth to the devil. Well, that's not what it says in my Bible. The earth is the Lord's, and everything that is in it belongs to Him. Amen. If God was going to just simply take us out and rapture us and take us away, maybe He would have done it without Jesus having to come and just take the children of Israel out. But God is not giving up on His creation. God is in love with His creation, and the creation belongs to God. Does not belong to the devil. And all those people out there that yet do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they do not belong to the devil. God has a rightful call on their life through Jesus Christ. He has a rightful call on their life from the very beginning of creation. And I believe that the church needs to begin to preach that God wants to restore back all things unto God. All things unto us need to be restored. So God wants to restore what we created in the beginning. He wants that to be brought back. He said there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He wants to bring things together again. So let's turn to Genesis, please. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And I think most people know how it starts. In the beginning, God. You see it on the screen there. And for me, I feel it should say, in the beginning, God, full stop. That's what it was. The Bible teaches that everything came out of God.
Yes, it
Is that not true?
Yes.
So why don't we say, in the beginning, God. Everything that exists has come from God Himself. The plants, everything you see. Even the things that man has designed and invented, they've all come from the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We have wisdom, we have knowledge because of God. So in the beginning, God. Then what? Then He decided to create the heavens and the earth. Wow. I don't know if you've looked out these nights when there's been a clear sky and you see the stars, the magnificence of the stars. I've told you in the past that Grace and I once were in America and we were on a lake. There were no lights around. And there was a clear sky, there were no clouds neither. And we laid on top of this boat. And we gazed at the Milky Way, as it's termed, and tried to count the stars. Absolute impossible. God, in His magnificence, in His imagination, in His knowledge and His revelation, created all these things. For you and for me. In the beginning, God. This is where it starts. This is where we begin. Verse 2 of Genesis. And the earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the surface of the waters. Have you noticed? Darkness. Darkness. Darkness always seeks to overpower light. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. Every one of you know, when it's dark, you can light a candle and you can see. You can turn a torch on and you can see. The darkness flees from light. And no matter what, darkness seeks to come against us. If we allow the light of God to come into our hearts and into our lives, it will drive away darkness. It will move darkness from us. If you want to know what God is like, it says He's light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so here we see that as the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, hovers over the surface of the earth. And then in verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Have you noticed? God is always separating light from darkness. God is always separating evil from good. Because God is good. And God is light. Around the throne of God and from the very throne of God in Revelation, it tells us there is lights flashing and light emanating from the very throne of God. If you want to know what God is light. God is love. And the first thing that God does on the very first day of creation is to separate darkness and light. Wicked from evil.
Yes.
Sorry, yeah. Well, I'll try that again, shall I? Yeah. I'm glad there's two of you listening. There's two girls there. They got that one. Well done. Thank you. Bill, you'll have to erase that bit. Separating darkness from light. Separating wicked from good.
Yes.
I got it right that time, didn't I? Yeah. God is separating. The Word of God says it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it will separate. So God is separating things. He's putting on one side. He says that which is evil and that which is good. Yeah. That which is darkness and that which is light. Yeah. And God is light.
He is.
And so God calls it the first day.
Yeah.
When he separated light and darkness, good and evil, he separated them from one another. Move on to verse 9. And God said, let there be water under the heaven, be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And so it was. And that's day 3. Something that maybe we don't think about very often, something maybe we don't even think about. And this is what scientists have come up with. And if you put that first slide up for me, please. The earth was one landmass. It says so in day 3 of Genesis. And God separated the waters and caused dry land to appear. And so it was. And scientists, they, you know, today we know about earthquakes that happen in, and we know about the tsunamis that happen, and we all, and it's all about the tectonic plates. There's a big word, isn't it? Hey, tectonic plates, they say, that are moving and shifting. God created and separated it. First of all, it was one big landmass. It all separated during the time of Noah. It separated during the flood. And it broke apart and moved. I can preach on that for another day. But that's one of the things that is believed what happened. And God began. And so God seeks to separate good from evil, light from darkness. We move on to just show them the other slide as well. And so obviously today, oh, there's another one. That shows you in some detail of possibly where some of these places existed pre the flood, should we say. And then when the flood came, and it says, and the earth broke up, and waters filled the whole earth. And that was a process of separation to the land masses that we have today on the other map. And I think we've another. Is it? Was there just one more? And that's today.
Yeah.
That's how we know our world, isn't it?
It is.
That's how we know our world. But prior to that, it was what we saw before. So, some of you never even thought of that, had you? Never even given it a thought. How had God? But you see, it's in the Bible. It's in this book. These stories are true. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Whilst you're turning, numbers have a great meaning in the Word of God. The number 1 means, it's a cardinal number. It means unity. It means unity. And so on day 1, God brought a unity about and brought the land together and brought the waters together. Three in the Word of God. The number three is divine perfection. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Divine perfection. Probably most of us know that five is the number of grace. Your name. Five, the number of grace. God's mercy and God's kindness and God's love towards all mankind. Six is always classed as the number of man. And we know, many of us, that 666 is classed as being the mark of the beast. He who would seek to rule and reign, who would seek to usurp and bring darkness rather than light. Let's just turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Both male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth. And then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree that has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which hath life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw that he had made, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And this is the evening and the morning of the sixth day. God made man on the sixth day. Six is the number of man. If we were to look at the timeline from God's creation to now, you would find that we have traveled, in accordance with the Word of God, we have traveled just over 6,000 years. From Adam to Jesus Christ was 5,000 years. The day of grace. As the day of grace appeared, the day of grace came in through Jesus Christ. We've traveled another 2,000 years, five, and we've come to the end of the 6,000. We're moving into God's seventh day. And the Word of God tells us on God's seventh day, he rested. You might say, well, what are you on about? It's 1,000 years, Andrew. The Word of God says 1,000 years is a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. Time is nothing to God. We are the people of time. God is not involved in time in that sense. God does not need the sun to go round him to give him a day. He is the eternal light. He's far more powerful than the sun. He gives a purer light than the sun gives. God made the sun. And just to remind you, if you look in that first and second verse of Genesis, where it says, and God separated the darkness and the light. The sun wasn't created then. The sun wasn't around. So where did the light come from? It came from the very throne room of God.
Amen.
It came from God Himself. He is light.
Amen.
The sun and the moon were created later. People read the Bibles and never really read it. They don't see that. God is the light of all things. God is purity. And God is truth. God wants you and I, as we're coming into this seventh day, this seventh millennium, from the writing of the Bible, from the documentation of creation with Adam and Eve. The Word of God says it's a day of rest, it's a day of victory, it's a day of righteousness, it's a day of goodness, it is a day of perfection. And I believe that God is calling His church to that very place. God is calling the bride of Christ to become perfect. You mothers, when it comes to marrying off your daughters, you want to make sure everything is perfect on that day, don't you? Hello? Yes? No? Come on. Even fathers, they want it to be a perfect day. They want their daughter to absolutely look perfect. A dress, the flowers, the bride, everything wants to be and needs to be perfect. Yeah? Well, why should you? Why should we? At times who are weak and sinful and can be wicked, why should we not think that God wants His bride, the church, to be beautiful, to be perfect, to be special, because she has a special day? When she meets with her bride, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the bride meets its Lord for the first time. God is moving us into that seventh day. And God is seeking that the church, the bride, becomes perfect. The bride becomes powerful. The bride becomes effective. Problem with the bride these days is the bride's bailing out all the time. Oh, I'm just hanging on because God's going to come and bail us out. No, He wants us to live in victory. He wants us to triumph. He wants the church to be successful. He wants the people of this earth to look at the church and see God in the church. He wants people to look at the church and see Jesus in the center of it. Not a man, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the only way that is going to happen is when we, the church, begin to get more involved, when we become more passionate about the Lord and Savior, when we begin to take in the Word of God. I was speaking last week about the power of the Word. I was speaking about this Word will change you. This Word will establish you. The more you read this Word, the more you will know God. The more you will look like Him, the more you will act like Him, the more you will be like Him. Because this is what God wants to do. He saved you to change you. He saved you to make you something special. He's taking some old clay pot and He's creating something new. He's taking that which has been stained by sin. He's taking that which has been beaten down by sin and He's creating it new. Amen? Come on, this is what God wants for each and every one of us. And you might say, well, Andrew, you're preaching a utopia. I'm preaching what the Word of God says. You see, by people saying to me, oh, you're trying to preach utopia, they're trying to put me down. They're trying to lower my sights. Well, that's true. And the Bible says, without a vision, we perish. I want to see the good things that God is going to bring down to this earth. And He's going to do it through the people of God. He's going to do it through those who are in love with Jesus. He's going to do it with those who have a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's about putting Jesus first. I've done this now for... I got it wrong the other day. I've been doing this for 49, 50 years. And my passion's not waned in all that time. In fact, it's got more fervent. And you know what they say. You know what they say, Stan, about as you get older. You just need to just slow down and take it easy a bit. Not at all. I hear stories, you know, folks would say, when I retire, I thought I was going to have it easy. Next thing you know, every time you talk to somebody, I'm so busy, I don't know how I had time to go to work. Well, I'm not planning to retire at the moment, because I'm busy enough as it is, you know what I'm... But what I'm saying, there's a passion I've got for Jesus. There's a desire for the things of God that I want to see. Well, I'm already seeing through my passion. I've seen in the last 3 weeks, 7 young ladies give their hearts and lives to Jesus. And if that ain't rewarding, I don't know what is. That to me is so exciting, because this is part of the bride of Christ. These are the ones who are going to bring in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God lives within each and every one of us, and it needs to manifest itself. The trouble is, people are afraid. Oh, you know, I like to keep my religion to myself. Well, I'm sorry, you weren't saved to keep it to yourself. You were saved to gossip the gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, are you one of his disciples? If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're now one of his disciples. And Jesus, his last commandment, he said, go out into all the world. Tell the gospel. Gossip it. Heal the sick in the name of Jesus. Cast out demons. And he said, even raise the dead. I'm glad one of them is going for it. Amen. Even raise the dead. Now you might say, well, it's a big challenge that. Well, you're not going to do it. You have to walk in faith. You just simply obey the word of God. This young lady here. When we were in the other church some years back, we were having a Bible study prayer meeting. And this young lady, for some reason, died on us in the meeting. I've been around enough dead bodies to know a death mask and see what death is. And she died in the meeting. And we all began to pray. Do you know, the first thing that came into my mind when I started to pray, well, not into my mind, but the first voice I heard that came to me when I began to pray was, this ain't going to look good, is it, when it's the news headlines, preacher prays for a dead woman instead of sending for her paramedics. My faith was being challenged. The enemy was whispering and bringing doubt and fear. And fear will paralyze you. Fear brings unbelief. And I'm stood there and I'm saying, in Jesus' name. And we prayed. And for 10 minutes, we had to pray. I have witnesses. There are people here who were in that meeting. Is that not true? You were there. Louise was there, I remember. And we were praying in the power of the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, the death mask lifted, and she was there. She came back to life, and she's still here. Amen. Hallelujah. And she's a great blessing to the church and to the work of God. Amen. This is the power of Jesus Christ. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is where the church should be functioning. But you can't do it when you're not together. You can't do it when you're not going and growing together. You see, the world needs to see you and I functioning as that powerful unit, that bride of Christ. But you need to have that desire within you. And I know I keep saying this and I keep banging this drum. We need to be in the house of God together. We have prayer meetings. We need to pray together. The power is in the prayer meeting. The power is not in this meeting. The power is in the preparation prayer meeting. And that's the worst attended meeting. I'm not beating you up. You're going to talk to God about it, not me. Lord, should I be in that prayer meeting? I know what the answer is. Because there's power in prayer. Prayer changes things. Tracy, I had a phone call. 10 o'clock at night. Come quick to Doncaster Hospital. I got there. She was beaten. She was, well, she'd been beaten up. She was black and blue. Her face was swollen. And I looked at her and I went to the doctor and said, who's beat her up? And he said, it's alcohol poisoning. All the bodily organs are shutting down. She's dying. I heard the doctors talking. They said, we're going to have to send her down to Derby immediately by ambulance and put on kidney dialysis. So I went and chased the ambulance, got to the hospital, arrived in the hospital ward. The doctor didn't know why they'd sent her. So I told them, I explained to them. And then I heard two doctors talking and saying, well, I don't know why they've sent her here. She'll be dead in no time. Waste of time. Well, in Doncaster, she was still awake, weren't you? And I laid hands on her and prayed for her. I said, Tracy, you're not going to die. You're going to live. 2 days later, the senior consultant came to see her and he said, lady, you are an absolute miracle. We do not know how you survived this. We do not know how your body has recovered like it has recovered. Well, I do. It's about Jesus. It's about the power of prayer. It's about knowing God. This God who's created all things out of nothing. It came out of God. It doesn't come out of me. But all I've got to do is plug in to the Creator. All I've got to do is connect to Him. All I've got to do is have that relationship with Him. And when we have that relationship with Him, we'll see signs, wonders, and miracles, and they will change people's lives. God, when God created us, God did not make this body for sickness. God did not make this body for sin. He made it to live in victory. He did not make this body to die. We were not created to die. Well, Adam, he lived for nearly 1,000 years. Oh, I tell you, there are things I want to share, and I've got so much I want to share about the beginning of all things in God. Don't miss a meeting in these next few weeks, because I'm just gonna let loose and go. And if you do, you'll miss it. I know. Hopefully, everything gets recorded okay, and you can listen it again onto the internet. Because you will need to listen again. You will need to listen again. Because there is so much that is in the Word of God. You see, God works in patterns. God works in numbers. And God wants to reveal Himself to you. I want to sometime in these next few weeks just even explain to you that God, when He said to Abraham, look at the stars, what He was saying to him was, have a look at the stars and see what I wrote up there. Have a look at them and see what I wrote already. I've written what's happened in the past. I've written what's going to happen in the future. It is all there. It is a mural. It is a painting to what I'm going to do. Some of you think, I ain't got a clue what he's talking about. Hang around. You'll get to know. I'll share one thing with you. You know, we have the star signs, don't we? Pisces, Leo, the lion. And these things have been corrupted into things called horoscopes. And people grab the newspaper and, what's your star sign? It's not about what you're, it's nothing to do with when you were born. But the devil always corrupts the good things of God. See, the devil's not an inventor of anything, right? He's never invented anything. He just corrupts what God has already made perfect. And so, it's not about what star sign are you. It's not what it's about. My destiny is in Christ Jesus. My destiny is in his birth, death and resurrection. My future's in him. Not when I were born. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Yeah? Leo, in the star signs, is the Lion. Yeah? Well, when you look at the map of the stars, and the lay it out, and they show you Leo, the Lion. Well, in the Bible, it says this. It says that his foot, Jesus, his foot will crush the head of Satan. Is that not true? Is that true, Stan? Absolutely. Okay. I'm on track, am I? Fantastic. Well, when you begin to look at the star signs, the way it's laid out, and I'll get you a photograph and put it on the overhead next sometime, it shows you there that the paw of the lion is on the head of the serpent. And the serpent is known as the devil. Yeah. You see, when God spoke to Abram and said, look, this is what's going to happen. This is your future. In other words, he's saying, look, you haven't got a son yet, but look, this is what's going to happen. That's your son. That's your inheritance. That lion of the tribe of Judah, he's going to crush the head of that serpent who appeared in the Garden of Eden. He's going to crush his head. You know, I think, wow, this is fantastic. Because do you not realize that Adam lived nearly 1,000 years? And then you've got the next ones that come along, and they live nearly 1,000 years. And so, the story of what happened at creation, although it was only just written by Moses, that story was being told down the generations. Right down the generations. And I'm not going to make a statement I was going to do, but I'll look at that again with you afresh. And I'll just let you know who knew Adam. He lives nearly 1,000 years, so there's quite a lot of the family members going to know him. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be, they come up and say, hey, great, 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 great granddad, will you tell me about that creation story? Can you imagine that?
though it could be true.
Thanks. I'm glad you're on my side. Hallelujah. But it is. I've actually looked at the time scales. But I prefer to sort of bring it and just sort of drop it in and say, he knew. And bring it all together. Because it's all connected. You know, that there was a... How many of us can say, oh, I know my great, 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 great grandfather. But in the Bible, it was there. So what I'm saying is, these people knew what paradise was like. Adam had told them what paradise was like. Adam had lived in paradise. Adam had lived in what God had created and looked and said, this is good. In fact, he said, it is very good. And so God had created this. Adam and Eve had lived in it. And they said, oh, you should have seen it. You know, what we lost to that conniving snake. Just listening to that stupid snake, that twister. And we lost it because he put some doubt. He put some doubt in my mind. And I accepted it. We fall because of doubt. We fall because of doubt and fear. And God's saying, trust me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always to the ends of the earth. Yes. And God wants to restore the paradise as it was in the beginning. So shall it be.
Yes.
I'm just taking scripture. God's intention is to restore back with that which was lost. Adam, the first Adam, lived in the garden. Jesus, the second Adam, he's known as the second Adam, has come to take up his rightful inheritance, which was paradise as God created it. Jesus was there when it was being created. Jesus was part of it. And so Jesus has come back. He says, we're having it back. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to buy it back. God's decided. He's buying it back. He's taking it away. He's not taking it away. He's taken it away from the devil. He did that 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. And Jesus said on that cross as he was dying in his last breath, he said, it is finished. Or another way of saying it is accomplished.
Yes.
I've succeeded. Jesus said in Matthew 18, I give to you the keys of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Come on, church. We have authority. We have the power invested in us through the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible wants to tell us this story of what God is doing. But we're so blind. So often so many people are saying, well, I'm just waiting for God to take me home. Well, I'm not.
Amen.
Right? I'm already home.
Amen.
In the sense that Jesus died that this world would be redeemed back to himself and all that is in it.
Yes.
So if this belongs to God, then I'm home. And then when I've done with this physical body, then I'll be in the presence of the Lord eternally. So, hey, I'm not planning on dying. I'm planning on living for Jesus. I have a passion within me that burns with a fire. If you're feeling a little cool, come and stand up here. This is where the fire is.
Oh, man.
I tell you, I mean, is my face cold?
No.
Oh, Glory to God. There is a fire that is burning, and there's a spiritual fire. Amen. Do you want to feel that? Hey, glory to God. Do you want to feel the glow?
Yeah.
Oh, your hands are warm as well. Hallelujah. There's a spiritual fire going on. Come on, church.
Yes.
Why did Jesus come? Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Now then, does anybody know who the sons of God are? We are. We're the sons of God. You see, there's no male nor female in God. We're the sons of God. Creation is waiting for us to be revealed. Creation is waiting for us, literally, to stand up in our rightful place.
Amen.
And be counted.
Yes.
And stand for the presence of God.
Amen.
This world is not going to be given over to Islam and to false gods. This world belongs to Jesus Christ. And the church needs to live it.
Yes.
And the church needs to stop backing down and backing off and allowing everybody else to dictate to the church. The Word of God is our set level. That's our nation became great because it stuck to the principles of the Word of God. Our nation was great for one special reason, that everywhere we went, we took the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, it said at one time that the sun never set on the empire. Why? Because we were commissioned by God. There were people in our nation, there were men and women who gave their life to Jesus Christ, that went out to be missionaries to these places and carried the gospel, the good news that Jesus is alive. God loves them. God died for them. Oh, I tell you, it's exciting. This nation had a commission, and we became great because we built our nation on the principles of the Word of God. Oh, I know there were some bad men. There always will be that seek to destroy that which is good. But let's look at the whole picture. And we brought the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Dharma's in this country because the gospel went to Africa, to where the headhunters were. Your nation in Nepal, the gospel went there and is bringing life into and causing the darkness to flee. That's what the good news is about. The good news of Jesus Christ causes darkness to go. It causes prosperity. It causes things to change.
Yes.
That's why God allowed this nation to be great. Because we carried the message and we lifted the cross high. We lifted the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we said we've come in His name. One God.
Amen.
And only one God. And a God who is a God of love. God's not asking for anything from you, but to love Him. Love Him. Give Him all your love. He's not going to beat you up. You know, He's not going to take His belt off and give you a good thrashing. He says He's love. Oh, we were in Romans, weren't we? Romans. For the creation was subject to futility, not willing, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. God is going to deliver creation back into the hands of the sons of God. And the earth and creation's groaning for it. To know the blessings and the power of God in its life. You know, I said to you, numbers were quite an important thing in the Word of God. God is going to take us through for this day of rest. He's going to bring us to a place where we're at rest and we're at peace with God, and everything is at peace. The world cries out, peace, peace, peace. But unless you get God in your life, there is no peace. You can have peace in the midst of a storm. You can have peace in the midst of trouble when Jesus is in your life. What happens when day 7 runs out? We start with day 8. 8 is the number of new beginnings. The number of new beginnings. During day 7, Jesus will restore His bride to Himself, and His bride will become glorious. The church is growing throughout the world. It is expanding in China like nobody knows. It is expanding in South Africa like nobody knows. It is just rife, the power of the gospel. And people say, well, it's not expanding here. No. If we, the church, we, the remnant, will take our faith and begin to act upon our faith, we'll begin to declare the works of God, we'll begin to believe God for signs and wonders, we'll begin to move in those signs and wonders, we'll begin to push forward in the things of God, we shall see things change. We are set for change. And if God has got to shake your tree to get Zacchaeus to come down and join Jesus, then that's what God's going to do. He will shake your tree. Amen? Numbers again. New beginnings, 8. I found something today on the internet. And in the Greek, if you type in the Greek, each number, each letter has a value, a numerical value. In the Hebrew, they have numerical values. Okay? And if you type in the Greek with the values, the words Lion of Judah, you get this number, 888. The number 8 is the number of perfection. Yeah. If you type in Messiah, you will get, if you type in Messiah Jesus, you will get 888. These are not coincidences. I mean, there are books just recently that have been written about the Bible that it is, it's mathematically presented in such a way that I don't understand some of these things. They're beyond me. If you type in Morning Star, you get 888. If you type in spiritual birth, you get 888.
Amen, new day. Amen.
God is in a new day.
Yes.
God is preparing for you and for me a new day.
Yeah.
God wants to release us, the church, the bride of Christ, into a new day.
Amen.
That's what God wants to do. You know, we often say, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. But guess what? He's making a day tomorrow.
Amen.
He's making day 8, new beginnings. There's a new beginning for the church. There's a new beginning for the bride of Christ. I don't know what that holds out for us in the future. I don't even know what tomorrow holds in one sense. But I'm going to enjoy today. And I'm going to live this day and with the anticipation that tomorrow's a day when the things of God will move and come to pass. When the power of God will flow through people's lives. When the church will be a life-changing church and not a church that has to cower down to society. A church that stands up and says, we stand because of the word of God. We stand on the promises of God. And as the early church said, we will not deny our Lord and Savior, but we will stand for our Lord and Savior. And we will declare His name. And we will live like Him and be like Him. Because that is what we're called to be. You and I are called to be like Jesus. Oh, I couldn't be like Jesus. Well, He saved you. He says He's in you. He's placed His Spirit within you. He's given us the Word of God so that we can be like Him. So that we can be a chip off the old block, as they say. You know, when my mother was alive, if she was here and sat in this congregation, you could look at my sister, you could look at me, and you could look around the congregation and say, that's their mother. Is that true? Some never met my mother, but it's a true statement. People said, oh, you're just like your mother. You've got your mother's eyes. That was the telling thing, you see. That was the bit. You've got your mother's eyes. Got my mother's passion as well. She was in love with Jesus. She had a passion for the things of God. She's gone on to be with the Lord now. Bless her wonderful name. Hallelujah. Verse 23 says in Romans chapter 8, and not only they, but we also who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. We're waiting. Problem is, while we're waiting, we need to get on living.
Amen.
We need to get on doing. We need to be about the Father's business. Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. And the church needs to be about Father's business. And Jesus said to us that we're to rule and reign. Adam was told in the very beginning, be fruitful. Multiply, fill the whole earth, rule and reign over everything. Those were the statements that were given to Adam. Same thing still applies. God has not changed His mind. God's not changed His mind. And it's for you, the church, today. To begin to fill these things. Begin to allow these things to happen. And begin to walk in these things. And you know, when we begin to do that, we'll see the power of God changing our lives. We'll see the power of God moving in our lives. The Garden of Eden was a wonderful place. I have a vivid imagination at times, but I could just imagine. Cool of the evening, God, every day, comes into the garden to visit with Adam and Eve. And He walks into the garden and he comes up to them and He says, what sort of day you had? And they begin to share. Now some of you think, oh, how can this be? You know, this God who's so great and so powerful and almighty. But His creation was created in His image. There was no problem. In fact, they looked so much like God. You say, well, how can that be? Well, consider Moses. He went before the very presence of God. And when he came out from being in the presence of God, the people said, "Oh, Moses, Moses, cover your face, cover your face." Moses said, "Why? Why? What's the matter?" He was the glory of God. The very presence of God was embedded into him. And he had to wear a veil over his face. And every time he went into the presence of God, he lifted the veil. And he and God spoke together. And every time he came out, the Shekinah glory, as it's termed at times, but the glory of God was upon him. And he came out with the glory. The church today needs to be like that. When they look at you, they say, "There's something different. There's something different about you. What is it?" And the answer is, "I've been with Jesus. I've been in the very presence of a holy God." Don't tell me it's not possible, because it's happened to me. I can remember in times when we've had a prayer line, we've been praying for people, and suddenly somebody said, "I just see the glory." And I've stood before people, and the power of God has touched them and healed them, and I've never touched them. But the glory of the presence of God. Oh, for those days. Oh, for that depth of relationship to be fulfilled again. Because God wants to reveal himself to the lost. God's not hiding from people. He said, "Seek the lost." He said, "Go and look for them." God wants people. God is in love with his creation. As I said, he came down to the Garden of Eden and spent time with Adam and Eve, and he was talking with them every day. Takes some handling that. But can you imagine this? I'll finish with this. I'll just throw this one out for you. They didn't have chairs. Can you imagine Eve sat? I know ladies will be able to imagine this one. Can you imagine Eve sat on a beautiful diamond? You know. Just reclining on this diamond, and the light of the sun's reflecting, and you know, the ladies with the diamonds like to, you know, don't they? Don't you girls, eh? You know, don't they? Oh, that's a cracking diamond. The chippings against the Garden of Eden. Beautiful emeralds and rubies and sapphires, great big chunks of them. Oh, Andrew, you're being silly. Well, go and read in Revelation about the new heaven and the walls and the jewels that were in the walls. They're in there. You see, we all suddenly get this mentality that, oh, things are in short supply, you know. No, they're not. God, it all came out from God. God is an abundant God. How did he manage to feed the children of Israel, nearly 2 million people, wandering around a wilderness for 40 years without Sainsbury's, without Morrison's, without Lidl, without Aldi, and anybody else you can think of? And yet he managed to feed them. And the clothes never wore out. He didn't need Marks and Spencers or Moss Brothers or whoever else that you might go to for clothing. And for 40 years, they wandered around the wilderness. And they always had food every day. Always had water every day. Oh, not just that, not just for just 2 million people, but they had cattle, sheep, donkeys, camels, and all these needed feeding. At plus 2 million people. I rest my case for now, for today. How great is your God? How great is his name? He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will never leave you. Put your trust in me. Amen. Lord bless you. Ponder on those thoughts. If you want to CD, see Bill, he'll arrange something. Or if you can listen to it on the internet, have another listen. I've thrown a lot out there today. And there's a much, much more I want to bring out. I am so excited because God has a plan and a purpose for the bride of Christ. Are we going to join in and be the bride of Christ? Amen. The Lord bless you.